to T-Rated. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to T-Rated, where we have conversations on life, growth, and TS. I am, of course, your host, Andy Jade. And today I thought, since we haven't had a new episode in a while, I would come back and do a cute little Q&A for you all, just for those who are new to me and T-Rated, to give you a chance to get to know me a little bit better. So without further ado, my wonderful videographer, Tevin, is actually going to be reading off questions for me. And these are ones that you all submitted, and I'm going to give you my unfiltered opinion.
What are the top three ways people can support the T-Rated podcast movement?
We're going to start out with self-promotion, I guess. Top three ways will definitely be, make sure you're following on social media, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, whatever streaming platform that you use. Make sure you're subscribed on there to T-Rated Podcast as well. Make sure when you see me post content that you enjoy from T-Rated, that you also share it, comment, be part of the conversation, whether that's on any of our social medias. I actually just launched a Patreon that is all for T-Rated, so you all can go support there as well. You will be getting the first episode before it goes up on any of the platforms. And of course, also with some exclusive bonus content and behind the scenes content for everything T-Rated. What's the next question, Tevin?
What can a man do to show he loves trans women and would rather them?
And would what? Read the last part.
Would rather have
a trans woman? I feel like the same thing you would usually do to show any kind of woman that... The rather part kind of throws me off a little bit more, but we do all have our dating preferences. But just any other kind of way you would usually treat a woman to show that you have pure intentions, go with those. When I hear people say they only want to date trans women, I actually talked about this on Twitter recently, or they prefer trans women, usually that just applies to post or pre-op trans women, not like all trans women. So when you say trans women in general, you should be mindful if you only want pre-ops to say pre-ops or only want post-ops to say post-ops, because most of y'all have a preference.
So you're saying they should just say they prefer some dick?
Yes, they want, most of the time they want the girl with the dick. Y'all don't like, yeah. It's a lot of issues with trans attracted men, but maybe we'll get into that in another question and circle back around.
This is more of a personal question.
Oh, Jesus.
Personal towards you anyway.
Oh, okay.
Are you selfless? Kind of is not an answer. Either yes or no, and explain.
No. I don't think anybody is selfless. I've had this conversation with a few people and I feel like I always get shit with it because people always bring up like popular activists or people like Dalai Lama or somebody like that or Mother Teresa. But I think anytime, even when you do stuff for other people and it'd be a selfless act, because a lot of times, I think the people we think about most when it comes to people being selfless are mothers. But they're selfless because that's also their offspring. And so that's like their offspring, their legacy. So they're getting something, it comes from them. So they're getting something back from it, whether it's even some kind of emotional gain. For example, it may seem selfless if I go out here and give $100, $200 to a homeless person on the street. But at the same time, it still makes me feel good to give that money to that person. So I still got something back from it. And so to me, selflessness or like true selflessness is doing something that you can't gain from in any kind of way. And I feel like most of the stuff that we do that we qualify or quantify as being selfless isn't actually selfless.
Don't get you run for president.
Huh?
Don't get you running for president.
Wow, without a piece.
That's the president you can answer.
No?
That's when you
no, because I feel like people, because the last time I had this conversation with someone, one of the people that was brought up was Malcolm X specifically, or like MLK. But as we know about both of them, it's not like overall, you could say they were selfless people, but it's not to say they never did anything in their life that wasn't selfish.
one more personal question before we get back into T-rated
general questions. Yeah. Okay.
Do you believe love is just an illusion?
If love just an illusion,
is it something people just, you know, make up
in their head? Yeah. No. I feel like that's hard to answer because you could say it's just an illusion in the sense of like it's not a tangible thing, but at the same time, it has tangible, real life effects on everything.
Implications.
Yeah. And so it's like you can be like, oh, it's just like an illusion. It's just how you feel about somebody.
Like you can't touch love.
Yeah, you can't touch love.
So it doesn't exist.
But at the same time, it does exist because people do a lot of crazy things for love or like whatever their idea of love is. So, okay, yeah. Or, I mean, I guess no, it's not just an illusion. I believe in love. I think love is beautiful.
All right, back to trans topics.
Yes.
Should there be an age limit before you can transition? For example, 16 or 17 years old, like legal sex in European countries?
I feel like I've covered this so much on other episodes. And I have my personal opinion on it.
What is your personal opinion on it?
But I also have
your diplomatic opinion on it.
It's not diplomatic. If because if I was that age and having been that age, I understand the fact that you can have very good understanding of who your gender and your sexuality and stuff like that prior to you being 18 years old. Because I did, even though I transitioned later on in life, I still didn't, or past those ages, I still had the underlying understanding of there not being a congruence between my birth sex and what my actual gender is and how I see my own gender. That being said, my actual opinion in regards to this topic is I think medical professionals and the parents of children who are questioning their gender are far more capable than I am as someone who's actually have lived experiences of going on hormone replacement therapy or having surgeries. I think doctors and parents know what's best for their children, and we give that responsibility to them in every other kind of medical sense. And so I don't understand how now we have this understanding that the government should step in and have regulations for doctors that they don't have in regards to treatments for other children. Cause like we treat, cause a lot of people like to say gender dysphoria is a mental health issue. And okay, if that wants to be your viewpoint, then your understanding needs to also be that the same way we can treat people with ADHD or depression when they're under the age of 18 or anxiety, we can also treat anything else that's medicalized in children. I think people who have well-educated opinions and are in the medical field should have opinions on that question. I don't think Kyle on Twitter, it doesn't fucking matter what he thinks.
All right, back to the nitty-gritty.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of a man with a cis girlfriend but likes trans porn?
I think a lot of people use porn for fantasies and sexual realities that aren't ones that they would actually want to live out. And actually, let me give like a firsthand experience. I was doing a live on Instagram a couple weeks ago, and somebody told me that they have a cis girlfriend, but they watch a lot of my content. And no, not cis girlfriend. They have a cis wife and they watch a lot of my content, and I don't, and their wife knows about it. So, I mean, I guess it depends on like what kind of relationship you have. What your relationship looks like to you. Like if your significant other or your cis wife or girlfriend doesn't like you watching porn in general, I think that could be an issue that you're watching any kind of porn. I guess that would just be a conversation to have with her. I'm not in your relationship, so I can't really give a solid answer to that because I know couples who watch my content or who are on my OnlyFans, and they're happy couples in relationships and they like watch it together. So I feel like that's a case by case basis. I mean, people would be in a relationship with like a black man could be in a relationship with like a black woman, have an amazing relationship and still watch white women in porn or Asian women in porn or Latino women in porn. So it's like,
good analogy.
Or tall women or big women or skinny women or old women.
What is the difference between a chaser and a man who only prefers to date trans women?
I feel like every girl will give you this answer. I think it kind of qualifies back to what I was saying about there's a lot of men who call themselves trans attracted, but really they're only attracted to trans women who are pre-op trans women. And they have a lot of like sexualized fetishes around that particular area of trans women. But also, I think when we talk about chasers inside of the trans community, we're talking about men who solely just sexualize us and don't see us as having any value outside of the sexual aspect of it. So if you're somebody who has a preference to date trans women, but you still treat them with a general sense of respect like you would other women, I feel like that kind of takes away the chaser aspect of it.
It's going to be kind of outlandish.
Okay.
Talk DL stories. They turn people on. You don't have to say names, but just a couple of experiences that you've had.
A few experiences. Well, this isn't a chat line. What did they call them back in the day?
Hotline?
Yeah, this is not a hotline. So I'm not about to give you some kind of spicy experience. What I will do, though, is give an example of what makes, and I don't think I'm going to say DL men, just because I feel like sometimes DL has can have like racial implications to it. So I'm going to say more discreet, like racial or like sexual orientation implications to it. So I'll say more just like discreet men, men who are not generally open about who they're all sexually attracted to, which, to be realistic, I don't think people should have to be completely open. Like, I don't think the person at Kroger needs to know, like, who I sleep with or the type of people I like to sleep with. While at the same time, I don't even think all my friends need to know the people that I sleep with or the type of people that I sleep with. While at the same time, if I get caught out in public or somebody finds out that I slept with any of these people, it's not going to ruin my day. So I feel like that's kind of the, so we're going to go with that. We're going to go with that preface. I'm going to preface my conversation like that. So I had this discreet guy that back when I was adult lady working, who I would see, and I think I saw him maybe like two or three times. And this is kind of the, I feel like the underbelly issue with discreet men that I feel like a lot of discreet men don't think about, but trans women think about it often. Anyway, this guy comes to see me, and where I was living at the time, I would have to go downstairs to let him in. And so we would be just walking from downstairs at the bottom of the building up to my apartment. And he would, you know how you get around someone and you can feel like their nerves and like their anxious energy? As soon as I would be outside, that's how he would feel the whole time. Once we got into my apartment, he was A-okay. He loved and enjoyed his experience, clearly, because he came back several different times. But when I was around him, even for those minute and a half in public, he just radiated with like anxiety, borderline shame. And the reason he'd continue to try to see me too, but I was kind of like, I'd gotten to a place where I didn't want to put myself around that type of energy coming from someone, because his shame is not something that I need to, it's not something that I need to have like in my life or keep around myself. And so I think that's something that a lot of discreet men or people in general don't take into account when in those kind of situations. If you're having to deal with, as the trans woman involved, you're having to also deal with their shame, even though it's just their shame. It's not your shame as well. And most men who are like that are, anytime you have to have a relationship or like close proximity to people who have shame around something, it can rub off on you in a negative way, but it can also lead to very dangerous situations, as we've seen see routinely. That's why when it comes to discreet men, if you want to be discreet, that's your life. Live it how you want to. I just think all these bitches should be out here charging you for it. Because there needs to be some kind of trade-off that is tangible. Next question.
How has hypersexuality affected you?
I can't say that it hasn't affected me, but I don't think it's as much as is that present to me in my day-to-day life. Just because now the environments and everything I put myself in are not a focus on that. Like, my sexuality to me is only, I only engage basically on the internet. So like my day-to-day life is not the super sexual, I'm just out here fucking all the time type of crazy scenario. I will say, having worked in like the adult industry and dealing with hypersexuality in that sense, and like always having to be in that space to a certain extent, made me, if anything, it made me like very conscious of like how shitty men can be, because I've seen very shitty behavior out of men in relation to their hypersexuality. But I feel like that's not, and so like when I was trying to date and things of that nature, I think it made it more difficult because I was just very aware of how men can act. But I don't think on a day-to-day basis it has any kind of like super crazy implications to me. But that's also, I think part of that is just because I'm very guarded in the sense of like, if it's not work, I'm not engaging, basically.
Back to the personal questions.
Okay, let's go with the personal.
Why aren't you married?
Well, I think to get married, you have to get engaged first. And since I'm not engaged, I haven't gotten married yet. I feel like the old age, I'm close to like marrying age, but I'm not, I feel like in modern women age, I'm not super close to that. I'm only 32. I feel like as long as I'm maybe married before 50, it'll be okay.
Let's talk about hidden talents. Do you have any?
I know who asked this question, because they asked this specifically because, so if you follow me on Instagram, I'd posted me going to shoot a bow and arrow, and people were like amazed that I could shoot a bow and arrow. Which I was a little bit amazed too, just that I was like hitting the target where I was hitting it, or and hit the different targets as many times as I did, just because I have not shot a bow and arrow since I was like a child. And so this is where that question stemmed from, because somebody was surprised. I don't really think I have hidden talents, because I don't think stuff like shooting a bow or like random things that I can do is like hidden talents. I can like roll my tongue, but I feel like people can do that too. I can do like a clover, but I feel like that's not a talent. I can halfway play the piano because I used to play it. I don't know if I can still play a saxophone, but I used to play it too. I took singing lessons for like 4 or 5 years, but I don't think y'all will ever hear me sing. I'm trying to think if there's any other, like I can pop my shoulder blades out of place kind of, but I don't think that's really a hidden talent. Yeah. I don't know. I burp loud.
Could you show us?
Me burping?
Your sparkling water.
No, thank you. If you want to subscribe to my adult custom video, and you want me to burp, I will be more than happy to do that for you. But I don't think I'm going to do it on T-rated.
Why do most trans girls get into the adult industry? And first of all, I don't think most trans girls get into the adult industry.
You don't?
I hate when people say most.
I think, to me, it doesn't even bother me that people quantify it that way, because that's part of like the representation that has been done for trans women over the past like 30, 40 years, at least. But I think for all of its bad, I feel like sometimes that can be, in terms of employment, it can be, I think trans women gravitate to it, but partly because of that's what we were always relegated to. I think part of the reason a lot of trans women get into the adult industry is because that's been our survival heritage over the past several years. And I think it's, or past several decades, at least in America. And it's something that has gotten, if not centuries, but it's something that we're slowly starting to come out of. But also, I think part of it too could just be because relationships can be difficult for trans women. And so because of how shitty men can be just in general, a lot of trans women just turn to that because they would rather do that than have to deal with men most of the time. Or at least if they're dealing with men, they're dealing with them with the sense of getting something out of it. You don't have to worry about, at least in that context, you don't have to worry about like a job firing you or people finding out and firing you for it, or having to deal with like ignorant people in like a corporate type setting that can have like its own whole different sets of issues. Or it could just be because like girls understand that that's a market to get into where you can have, especially now, you can have like crazy profit margins, and a lot of girls are out here trying to fund their transition, and that can be a quick way to help fund it for some people.
And
it's work.
And you can be antisocial.
And you can be, you can be like me and just be at home all the time and make a dollar or two.
All right, next question. That's really the biggest perk. You can just stay at home.
Yeah, I just stay at home and work, especially nowadays.
What does a man have to do to get a chance with you?
A chance with me? Be a dog. Like a the rough, rough kind.
A Frenchie. Yes. Wow.
Be a puppy. When people ask me, what's my type? My type is white or gray Frenchie. That's my type. But even though I wouldn't really want a male, I would probably want a girl.
What's that?
Or female.
They had on White Chicks. The little one.
Oh, I have no clue. Why I've got to be on White Chicks?
Because I saw it the other day. Saw the dog the other day.
I'm a cross dresser?
No.
Not you had to question it.
I was like, you're much more attractive than Marlon Wayans.
Thanks.
What is your happiest memory? Let's say within the last 5 years, what has been your happiest memory?
Shit. I think, because I don't even think I have like a happiest memory like in my whole life. I've had a lot of happy memories. I don't think I have any that are not like.
What's the first happy memory that comes to mind when I ask the question, what is your happiest memory?
Maybe when I started trans. I think probably after I got my hips done, which wasn't even like a happy memory. It was like a happy moment, just because I like, once my body started looking more feminine, the way I'd already always like kind of pictured my ideal body, that was just like a really happy, meaningful moment for me. When I graduated from high school, it was very happy because I was ready to get the fuck up out of that bitch. Every vacation I've been on, I went to St. Lucia last year, and that was a very happy moment for me and time in general for me the whole time I was there. I have a lot of happy moments.
Very last question.
How do you feel about being a white trans woman who would rather be in an interracial relationship? And is that even true?
That I would rather be in an interracial? I don't have a strong preference for most white men. Actually, I have a strong...
For Johnny Depp.
If I was going to date... No. If I was going to, like... I feel like I have stricter preferences for white men probably than, like, any other kind of... any other race in terms of, like, aesthetics. Yeah. I think when it comes to like relationships, I'm not super closed off really to like any kind of race. Relationship wise, I've only actually been like in a relationship with people who aren't white, people who I would actually quantify as like a relationship. Have always only been people who weren't white. But maybe that's just because I didn't find like the right white guy. I think part of it too is just because a lot of white men don't have any kind of like general understanding, or it's hard to explain to them certain aspects of like
going through a blight. Like,
yeah. Outside of like growing up poor, like if white men grow up poor, they don't have as much kind of like context to give certain social interactions or social realities of being trans. So I feel like maybe that, or I don't feel like that's part of the reason I don't gravitate towards white men, but I would never be like, oh my God, I would never in my life date a white man. I wouldn't date any of the white men I've met.
All right. We're out of questions, but
wait, no, you got to ask them.
I have a couple of okay. them, a couple fun questions.
Okay.
All right. What are Andy J's top three movies of all time?
Top three movies. Devil Wears Prada is the number one best cinematic feature film, however you say that, of all time. That is the Devil Wears Prada is like my comfort movie. You know how you want to watch something, but you need to know everything that happens because you can't, you're just kind of in one of those mental spaces. That is Devil Wears Prada for me. Black Swan used to be one of my favorite movies, but I don't think, or top three, but I don't think, not so much anymore. Matilda is, just because when I was a child and that movie came out on VHS, I knew every single fucking word. That I would watch that movie with my brother and I would repeat it line for line, like say it at the same time they were, and it would drive him insane. That's two. I don't know if I have a third one. Not Black Swan, but I like the kind of genre of movie Black Swan is. I like mindfuck kind of movies. Black Swan is like that. Mother is like that. Yeah. What's your next question?
Who are your top three celebrity crushes?
Celebrity crushes.
Let's go. It can be of all time.
Of all time,
and we do
top five all time celebrity. I don't think I have five. So I don't think I'm even gonna put. If not even, probably gonna. Yeah, it won't all be men. I can't name them because let's see five. Okay, so Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
Y'all can look all these people up.
Yeah. You don't know who that is?
I think so, but okay. I have no idea. She'll drop a link or whatever.
I'm not going to post all these people. Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
They're
going
to pop up in a little box.
Meg Thee Stallion.
You should definitely have them pop up in little pictures.
Should I?
Yeah, pop up over your
head. I think Meg Thee Stallion just has very
strong energy.
Like strong sexual energy. Like she just has, it's like a confidence thing. It's like a sensuality type thing. But she's also goofy, her. And I feel like that wouldn't, like these don't mean I would want to like have sex with these people either. They're just like crushes. Gabrielle Union.
Is that three?
Yeah, the three. Gabrielle Union is my third one. I don't know if I have to, like, I feel like there's, oh, wait, who's that really big, I was about to say he's white, but he's not white.
Samoa?
Yes.
Daniel, no,
it's Jason
Momoa.
Yeah, Jason Momoa. That's four. I don't think I have a fifth one. Barack Obama. He's always been, like, attractive to me.
But he's a beta.
Barack Obama is beta. I don't care.
Like the president. You remember, like, can the president be a beta?
I don't know. But I like, but not like Barack Obama is, or people like Barack Obama are the same kind of like, I have a crush on him in like the most, Michelle Obama in the most respectful way I possibly could. because I have a lot of respect for her. So I would never be like, yeah. Is that all your questions? You sure?
If Andy J hops in her car right now, what song would be playing?
Let's see. I'll pull up my...
Let's do your top, your last five songs in your history, your Apple Music history.
Yeah, but I do like autoplay. So it's not going
to
be...
So what are your top three songs that you're listening to this week or this month?
Right now?
Yeah.
So for people who follow me on Instagram, I post a lot of like every morning for the most part, I try to post something that's like more motivational, everything and everything. And someone actually asked this on a live. And so recently I've been listening to a lot of like more upbeat motivational type music. So one of the last songs that I added, I'll go with songs that I added to my favorites recently. One of them was Protection by Peachka. I don't know how to pronounce. I don't know how that's pronounced. I guess it's pronounced like that. Money Mantra, which I have shared on Instagram recently, by Moonlight Scorpio. Wherever the Dick May Land by K. Michelle, which is not like super motivational. A couple of Aniko's songs. Cause I think I follow them on, I follow them on Twitter, but I think I follow them on TikTok too. Yeah. Some Jill Scott on here, some Queen Irby. Yeah. Those are kind of like, that's it. That's all of them. That's all our questions. We're done.
What is your favorite activity to do while on vacation?
Kind of random shit.
Like, do you like excursions? Or are you just the person that just wants to lay by the pool?
I like a little bit of both. I'm a water person. If I'm going to leave and go somewhere on vacation, I want there to be water. And I want to swim in it. I don't think, I kind of like snorkeling sometimes, like a little bit. Yeah, but I like going to like different beaches and stuff, like on the same island, getting in the water, the same water, I guess, just in different places. I did parasailing the last time I went on vacation. I enjoyed it. It was a little scary, but I still liked it. That's it for our questions. Okay. Well, thank you all so much for your questions. And thanks for listening to this episode. We are back filming, so you can expect episodes a lot more frequently. Again, make sure you're following T-Rated on all social media platforms, and make sure you check out the Patreon and subscribe so you can see the podcast first before they go up live anywhere else, and get behind the scenes and additional clips and exclusive everything. Thank you for watching, and I will see you in the next episode of T-Rated. Stay kind.